Morning, church. Hey, I want to share just a couple things real quick. Number one, I don't have the thing in front of me. 12th and the 14th. 13th, 14th. That was close. 14th, 15th, journey to Bethlehem at Flyder's house. If you've never been there, it's something worth seeing. A lot of effort, a lot of talent on display there, but it's all there for the glory of God. It's, I don't know, 4 hours one night and 3 hours the next. It's a Saturday, Sunday. I think the entrance is, donation is gloves, hats for underprivileged children that need them. That's the first one. The second one is we have a ton of talented people in this church. You know, I preach on the youth a lot, and I'm not going to do that today, but I can tell you we have a ton of youth that are starting new sports seasons, starting new stuff. Just keep all our youth in prayer. We have, you know, a ton of girls high schoolers, a ton of boys high schoolers, junior high girls at Mount Gilead and at Northmore. So just keep them in prayer. I watched a game with Mount Gilead Northmore Friday night, and man, girls basketball is physical. Brenna ran into a pick, and about took her out of her shoes. But you know, she jumped right back up and got at it, got after it. Lot of talented people. I'm gonna leave you with this, and he has no idea. Dylan sent me a thing this week, and this is song number two, Dylan. Two-ish. I'm going to play it. I hope we can play it. I think we can. Just listen to the words of this song. This is, Dylan just has more free time than everybody else, evidently. So, because it'd take me like 3 years to do this, but he's knocking them out. So here it is.
Yourself, don't put the love he shows you up on a shelf. Like we learned from the one who was born in a stable. When you see something wrong, you gotta flip that table. It's easy to love when God is within, and we know love can cover many sins. Do you have the faith to take a step out of that boat? Don't wanna sink, you gotta float. Have some faith and step on out. Let him show you what his love is all about. So love each other, love a friend. God's love, it just won't end. Love your God with your heart and all you've got. What you'll find. Love is patient, love is kind. God is love is what you'll find. Love is patient, love is kind. God is good all of the time. Love is patient, love is kind. God is love is what you'll find. You gotta step back and hit him with love like God would do. When you live in love, you live in God and God in you. So love each other like you've been commanded to do. When there's bad news coming that you think you're gonna hear, think about how perfect love can drive out fear. Love is patient and love is kind. God is love is what you'll find. Love is patient, love is kind. God is good all of the time.
I don't think Dylan sang it, but man, the version I got sent to me, it scrolled the words while they were singing it, and man, the words are powerful. That is the same God that we're going to talk about today. That is the same God that we should be talking about every single day. And before we get started, but thank you for that, Dylan, and keep doing what you're doing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and Lord, we thank you so much that you are patient. We thank you so much that you are kind. But Lord, we thank you so much that you are perfect. Lord, we love you. And we want to show that love, and we need to show that love every day of our lives, Lord. Lord, as we go into the message, just shut my brain down, shut my what I want to have said down, and just, Lord, you bring the words out that you want to be heard today, Lord, and give the congregation ears to hear what you need them to hear. In your name we pray, amen. So, you know, if I was a full-time pastor and I was preaching every Sunday, I would probably do a series on Christmas. I like Christmas. I love the story. I don't love the Hallmark stuff as much as my wife loves the Hallmark stuff. Listen, it was about 4th of July. We started putting up Christmas trees. I exaggerate a little, but she loves it, and then I love watching the enjoyment she gets out of it. But I'm going to talk to you about a different Christmas today, and we're just going to get started. The story, the Christmas story, that's not where we're going, but the Christmas story had so many moving parts that are amazing to see. We're going to be in Isaiah today, and we're going to talk about the foretelling of this Christmas story, and I think it's pretty cool. We're going to be in Isaiah, and we're going to be in 6 and 7 today, and I'm going to talk to you. Isaiah is a prophet, okay? Prophet, meaning he's going to tell people what's going to happen in the future. He's going to prophesy about what's going to happen. But I want to take us back into where Isaiah was commissioned into this role in chapter 6. And we've talked about this a little bit back in Sunday school with the young people. And I thought, you know, I'm going to go there. So Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now we could stop right there, and we could talk about that just portion for a couple hours. But the one thing I want you to see is I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne. And to me, when I'm reading this stuff, my mind is trying to paint a picture. And this next part was hard. Because, and the train of his robe filled the temple. You know, I gave two daughters away to be married, and someday I'll give a third one. And the train of their dresses were pretty big. But we're talking about a train that filled the temple. That's how great our God is. That's how powerful and how big our God is. Okay? And then it goes about the seraphim, and I'm not going to get into that. But let's go to verse 4. At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." He said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of all this people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "For how long, Lord?" And he answered, "Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left and deserted, and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away, and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and the oak leave stumps when they were cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." So, man, there's a lot in here, right? And Isaiah, his willingness, he said, "Man, here I am, Lord, here I am." That's the key to the whole thing. Because God wants us to choose him. And the rest of this stuff, I'm not sure I understand what God's asking, but what God's telling him here is, hey, man, go and tell them stuff that they don't understand. Go, because they're not going to get it. But I want you to go, and I want this world to need what's coming. Okay? In chapter 7, this is really where I wanted to get. We're going to go to, this is still Isaiah, but we're going to go to, we're going to read it. Sorry, we're going to read it. "When Ahaz, the son of Jotham, and the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin and Aram and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, 'Aram has allied itself with Ephraim.' So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, 'Go out, you and your son, Shear Jashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool, on the road to Lauder's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and do not be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, and of the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, "Let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Tabeel king over it." Yet this is what the Lord, sovereign Lord, says. I'm going to stop there for a second. This is all just a bunch of names. All just a bunch of corrupt, nasty people. Okay? I could have skipped those verses pretty easy, and I could have picked up right where we're going to. But I wanted you to understand where that society was compared to where we are today. We're not that far off. We're not that far off. We have regressed into where, we need to remember that the birth of our Savior. Because He's back. He's here. We need Him. Let's go here. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim too will be a shattered people. Will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Verse 13, then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid to waste. The Lord will bring on you and your people and the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria." This is the foretelling of the coming of the Christ. And you know, these people had no idea what that meant. They had no idea what that meant. They thought somebody was going to come and take their kingdom. Thought somebody was going to come and... But... It's miserable to be in a state that this people were in at this point. And guys, I'm telling you, God doesn't want us to challenge Him. God wants us to believe Him. And Isaiah had the foreknowledge, and he had the knowledge, the expertise to say, okay, here's what's going to happen. He spoke for the Lord right there. And he told the whole story. I'm going to take you one other place, and we ended up here today in Sunday school, and I thought it was pretty cool. We're going to go there. We're going to go to, see if the kids remember. Where were we? I know where we were. We're going to go to Luke. And I'm going to paraphrase some of this. We're not going to go into the whole Christmas story, but I'm going to tell you about a guy named John the Baptist. And the importance of what he did. So in chapter 1, Luke 1, we're going to start in verse 5. In the time Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of the Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth could not conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by the lot, according to custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, and all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. In verse 11, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, this is kind of going to be a reoccurring quote here over the next few weeks. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Guys, understand, we are not prepared for when the Lord comes again. These people were not prepared for the coming of the Lord. They didn't understand it. They didn't understand it because they thought what was coming? They thought a king, a worldly king was coming. But here is John the Baptist is going to be born, and he's going to be born of, and we talked about this today, and we're not even going to go to Mary, but God's plan is so perfect because here's Zechariah and Elizabeth up in age, right? It doesn't say how old they are. We could find out. We could research and find out. We're going to call them 75 years old, okay? Listen, Chris and I have Beckett today and Morgan have Beckett today. I'm 52. Let me tell you, I want to be a parent again, an infant parent again. Not for me. I love the little dude. Him and Bruce are going to bring me a lot of joy. But, I don't want to spend 24/7 with him. They're needy. Morgan's still needy, but I can send her on her way, give her car keys, give her $20, go get some gas or something. But Elizabeth and Zechariah, man, they were like 70 years old. They wanted kids. They wanted them when they were 30. But it didn't happen. And God's plan is perfect because he uses Elizabeth and Zechariah to bring the guy. And I don't know. I'm probably making this up. But he brings a baby to the people with all this wisdom in their years. That's going to be the guy that foretells and brings people and baptizes people in the name of Jesus, who was born of a 15-year-old virgin. The plan is perfect. The plan is perfect. Let's move on here. I want to see what Zechariah has to say about this. So Gabriel appears, and he tells Zechariah, you're going to have a baby. He's going to be great. Zechariah then, in verse 18, asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. Man, that's a great way of putting it. Chris had a birthday last week, and that's how I should put it. She is well along in years. She's not in here. I'm older than she is, okay? So, I'm older than she is. Julie, thanks for reminding me of that. The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you to tell you this good news. And now, because you did not believe," it doesn't say that, but it says, "and now you will be silent and not able to speak until this day happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs for them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among people." The two, and we'll learn more about Mary later, but the two women in the story of the birth of Jesus, both were faithful. Both were way smarter than the men, quite honestly. Zechariah didn't talk. He couldn't talk. Now, maybe you like it. Maybe, I mean, if you go to the temple and your priest can't talk, short service, right? Short service. But I'm not good at sign. I'm not good at body language, and I'm not good at reading things, so I need to be able to speak to be able to tell where people are. But so the dudes in the story, and we'll get into a little bit of Joseph in a couple of weeks, but not much. But Zechariah didn't believe, and he was silenced because of it. I'll bet he believed when he came out and couldn't talk. And they get home, and Elizabeth says, "Praise be, God has given me a child. He is ending my disgrace." That is pretty cool. And I will tell you that Mary's response to when she was told was, "I am the Lord's servant." 70-year-old woman, 15-year-old virgin, both with the same response. What are we willing to do this Christmas season to show the Lord that we are on board with His plan, that we don't doubt His plan, that we hear what is being said and we take it for that is what it is? You know, Dylan's doing it. I'm sure Dylan writing songs was not in Dylan's vision, right? But Dylan, oh geez, Chris came out. She must have heard my comment. But Dylan is following what God wants him to do. And if you've never talked to Dylan, that's the first thing Dylan will tell you is, "I don't know why. I don't know how. But God laid these words on my heart and I started writing." He's got two songs that are pretty doggone good. And that's pretty cool. But that's what God's plan can do for each and every one of us. Take ordinary people and do great things as long as we stick to God's plan. You know, when Isaiah, I don't know that much about Isaiah's background, but all he showed was a willingness. All he showed was a willingness. You know, Elizabeth's like, "Yes, Zechariah took a little more convincing. But all John the Baptist did was baptize, I don't know, thousands of people before Jesus' ministry started. And preached the word and the forecoming of the Messiah, and preached it every single day in the middle of a wilderness. But people came to see that because people want to know more about our God. You know, the fact that you people come to church every second Sunday and listen to me talk, that's, you want to know more about God because you don't want to listen to me. Okay? But again, I paint myself into that picture of, and when John the Baptist started his ministry and he was out in the wilderness, these people had to go to the wilderness to him. It's not like he came into town. Why? He needed the waters to baptize people. So people flocked to him. Guys, that outside world is hungry today for the Word of God. I'm not saying we're John the Baptist. I'm not saying that we're prophets. I'm saying that we've been given so many of these examples in the Bible of this story, of this whole plan, that we know enough that we should be able to go out there and educate people. More importantly, we know enough that we should be able to go out there and tell people how to gain salvation. Do we do it? Do we take that leap of faith? Do we believe even when it seems like, man, that's pretty unbelievable? And I mean, I tie it all back to sports. So Hillsdale football team went 14-15-0, whatever it is, right? They believe. Their mantra on their buses and everything was, "We believe." If you would have told them, heading up to Canton Friday morning, that they were going to get beat 74-0 in the state final championship game, nobody would have believed. And I think on the other side, if you'd have told Maria, Mary, and Local that they were going to win 74-0, they wouldn't have bought that either. This is state championships. But that is what the power of buying in to a plan will do. You know, because this guy at Marion Local does it different than any other coach that I know of. You know, those kids don't play a down of football till 7th grade. And in the 7th and 8th grade, all kids play equal time. There is not a kid on Marion Local's roster that has ever lost a high school football game. Ever. 64 in a row. And it's crazy because it's not a big town. It's not a big town at all. 80 kids on their roster. There's 105 kids, I think, that go to the school, 105 boys that go to the school total. And there's 4 kids that aren't in the band or on the football team. The guy's got a plan. He's following through with it. Our God has a plan. We have to trust it. Is my whole point to the whole thing. Our God's plan is way more perfect than any football coach's. Our God's plan is way more perfect than anything we can ever imagine. We have to trust this. We have to be like Elizabeth and Mary and not quite like Zechariah. Because we don't want to lose our voice. We want to be able to go out there and tell the world. Guys, his plan's perfect. And we're going to get, I'm sure Les will be into it next week, and I know I'll be into it the following week. We will be into the whole Christmas story, I promise. Because what a plan it is. But for what I want you to know today is, we have that plan. It's right here. We have that plan. we've got to go out there and run the play God wants us to run. And it's not just at Christmas. You know, the journey to Bethlehem, amazing. Amazing. But we need to carry out that plan 24/7, 365. That's our challenge. Are we going to be perfect? No. Are we going to be without trials? No. Are we going to have dumb stuff comes up that waste our time? Sure. But we need to be forging God's plan outside of these walls. Because there are people in our lives, believe it or not, that have never heard that plan. There are people in our, I just about bet, there are people in our lives, each of our lives, that have never heard the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. That's alarming. That's alarming. So we got to be like Isaiah and we got to say, here I am, Lord, I'll go. And let him do the work. He'll put you in that place. So as we head into the Christmas season, what I want you to do is always look for those opportunities to show what God's done for you. I didn't say look for those opportunities to talk to everybody and your brother about it. I'm saying when we go out there, we got to show what God's done for us. And we do that through showing our love for other humans. We don't get all upset about it every time somebody says something because they're going to talk about us. But if they're talking about us, they're not talking about what? They're not talking about the devil. They're not talking about the worldly things. So let them talk about us. We got to be different. You know, John the Baptist was different. Isaiah was different. We got to be different for the goal of spreading God's plan throughout mankind. Let's go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the passage today, and I thank you for even in all that turmoil and all that strife that was going on, Isaiah just had the willingness to say, yeah, here I am, I'll go. Lord, I challenge us today that we have that same willingness and we have that same passion that John the Baptist had. You know, he was not always very well presented, but he always did everything in your name, Lord, proclaiming your Son as the Messiah. Lord, just give us that strength and give us that faith to go out and show that story and show that plan of salvation and show that plan that you have for our lives, Lord, every single day. Lord, there are people in this congregation that are hurting. Lord, I just lift them up to you right now. There are people in this congregation that might have some financial problems, might have some marital problems, might have whatever it is, Lord. I lift all of those to you, Lord. You know what they are. Lord, as we head into the Christmas season, let us be about the baby's purity and about the baby's, what that baby means to us for our salvation, Lord. Lord, we just love you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. So